Good morning.
Good morning.
It is one of the best mornings, for it's getting very close to the last morning of our school year, isn't it? I'd like to read the whole parable that we have been looking at of late, because this is our final study of this parable, Matthew chapter 25, beginning at the verse 1, and it's also my last school assembly with you of this year. So that's good timing, isn't it? Last school assembly for me and the last study in Matthew chapter 25. Let's read from verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Amen, and may the Lord bless this reading from his precious, precious word. We opened our assembly this morning with the singing of the Psalm 100, which is a psalm very much connected with events here in this parable, because the psalm is a reference to that time when the Lord returned and the whole world will be stirred, and the vast majority of the people in all the nations of the earth will worship the Lord. Because when the Savior comes, there is a great revival. A great revival. A great awakening amongst the nation. So, as I say, the psalm is related to the same period as we're looking at here. Now, we closed our last study with the consideration that just before the Lord comes, and for quite a period before it, the church will be asleep. We see the wise and we see the foolish virgins representing all that would profess to be Christians, some of whom truly are, they're the wise, and some who are not. They think they are, they say they are, but they're not. They're the foolish virgins, but they're all asleep. They're all asleep. But just before the bridegroom comes, there's a great cry goes up, and there's a stirring amongst the professing church, and they rise up and seek to go back to the duties that they should have always been attending to, their lamps burning bright and waiting for the bridegroom. Now, I want you to notice, and we're talking here about the foolish virgins, I want you to notice that it is as a result of that stirring, which comes, as we see in the verse 6, it comes as a result of a cry made at midnight. It's a cry from heaven. That's what's represented. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. What were the last words we read in the parable? Look at the verse 15, please. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And here's this cry in the verse 6, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Verse 13 says, We don't know when he's coming. But verse 6 speaks of a voice that does know. So it's not an earthly voice. It has to be a voice that comes from that place where alone there is the knowledge of when the Lord is coming. Only heaven knows that. So this is a shout from heaven, a heavenly shout. I have said to you, I believe that it represents the Lord stirring up preachers to say that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh, that events that are taking place around us indicate that the coming of the Lord is near. I have no doubt that that will be the case, because when the Saviour was coming the first time, there were those who were able, as it were, to read the signs and recognise the time's drawing near. The time's drawing near. And the signs of Christ's first coming were not nearly so numerous, not nearly so clearly pointed, as are the signs that God has given to us regarding the second coming. There's more pointers, more indications given us in the scriptures regarding the second coming than there were concerning the first coming. And yet there were those, when the Saviour was born, who were aware that the time was drawing near. The time was drawing near. We read of two of them in Luke chapter 2, who were waiting for the consolation of Israel. And I think it's always important that we remember them and honour them, because they display the watchfulness that there is and should be amongst us. And we read in verse 25 of Luke chapter 2, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." So here's a man, and God has revealed to him that the Saviour is about to come. Further down you read of a woman. Her name was Anna. And in like fashion, she had an awareness that the time for the Lord to come, his first coming, was drawing near. So, if the saints of God back then had this awareness, and yet they didn't have the indications, the signals of the approach of Christ nearly so clearly presented to them as we have concerning the second coming, so if there were those stirred up and ready for the first coming, how much more there ought to be an awareness amongst us of the second coming. And the Lord is, I believe, going to stir up people to think about the second coming and study the scriptures regarding the second coming. And that's the voice from heaven that says, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." I have no doubt that you're a generation that will hear this cry from heaven. You will witness, if I am not mistaken, you will witness this stirring and this awakening and this growing awareness that the approach of the Lord is drawing very, very near. Now, as a result of this cry from heaven, it says the 10 virgins awoke from their sleep, the whole professing church is stirred up, and it is at that point that those who were not really saved begin to realize that they had no oil. I want you to see that. Please understand that and understand what it is the Lord means by that. Verse 7, "Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out, or going out. We have no oil." You see, in a time of slumber, when the church is careless, nobody really thinks about their soul. Out there, vast majority of people never give a thought to their soul. I was visiting some folk who have lost a father on the Lord's Day past, and they're not saved. And though they have been spoken to in various ways and at various times, they just seem to be unable to have the slightest interest in the things of God. And they were talking about dying. And they could talk about dying without realizing what it meant for them. It's as if their thinking just came right up to the graveside and then stopped. They never took that other step and said, what lies beyond the grave for me? No. And I was just saying that as they talked about death, I said, you know, there is nothing in all this world about which more warnings are given than the approach of death. We read about people dying, we attend funerals, and it's everywhere, telling us death is coming. And yet I said, while there needs to be preparation for death, Nobody takes any preparation. Nobody seems to think, I need to get ready for death. And you could see how they were almost just shutting their minds to what it was I was saying. But here we find the foolish virgins are suddenly taking stock of the fact we've no oil. Hadn't thought about it before, but they're thinking about it now. They're thinking about it now. How careless they had been! But now, as a result of this shout, they begin to think about it. You know, boys and girls, I would suggest to you that the last days before the return of Christ are going to see a time of revival. A time in which many in this world will begin to think about eternity. Without going into any great details, I do think that it's suggested to us here. God, by His Spirit, is going to stir. And this shows the kindness of the Lord. This shows the kindness of the Lord. Because men have rejected the gospel, turned their back on God, blinded their eyes to His truth, don't want to know. And it would be very proper in those circumstances if God were to come quietly upon this world and strike a blow of judgment. But I believe the Lord in His kindness will send notice to the world, I'm coming, by the stirrings of His Spirit. Just like this cry from heaven woke up the sleeping virgin. It's an evangelical move by God, a stirring by God, and a preparing of many. And as a result of the stirring, the five foolish virgins discover, we have no oil. What does that mean? What is pictured here for us? Well, boys and girls, let me tell you. The Lord Jesus Christ said this. One of the earliest things that He said in His ministry, ye must be born again. A lamp cannot burn without oil. If there's no oil in the lamp, I don't care how many matches you strike, the wick will not light up. You need oil. And the Lord Jesus says, except you're born again, you'll not get to heaven. He's talking there about a coming of life into your soul, whereby, like a lamp getting oil, it lights up. So, when you're born again, there comes into your soul life from heaven, and you begin to shine. Show forth the very life of God. If you don't have oil, like a lamp, you don't have life. You don't have life. Have you oil today? Is there within your heart that life the Lord Jesus is talking about? Except a man is born again. Born from above, that's what the phrase means. Except a man has received life from heaven, he'll never get to heaven. He'll never get to heaven. And we need to really take hold of this. People are so blind to these truths, boys and girls. Look at what happens here. Let's just read it. From verse 8 we read, the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. They recognize now they need oil, but they're going to the wrong place to get it. If you're not saved this morning, it's no good you turning round to the person beside you who may be saved and asking them to save you, because they can't. They're saved, yes, but they can't give you oil. You've got to go to the only person who can give you life. That's the Lord Jesus. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But these foolish virgins, you see, they're aware of their need, that they haven't oil, but they're still in ignorance as to how to go about getting oil. They turn to those who have oil in their lamps, and they're asking them, but they say, no, we can't give you oil. Go to them that sell oil. Go to the source where you can obtain oil. And it says in verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Now, while there is a stirring going on here, and the foolish virgin suddenly become aware that they haven't oil in their lamps, they're not ready for the coming of the bridegroom, there's still great ignorance in their life. They don't know where to get oil. although they receive guidance from those who are called the wise virgins. And that's what you are to do. You're to tell people where you can get saved. That's what you have to say. You have to point the way of salvation, direct people to the Lord Jesus, who is the source of oil. But notice that these foolish virgins, on discovering that the door is shut, rush up to the door, likely knock on it very loudly, and they say, "Lord, Lord." What does that mean? That means, boys and girls, that they thought that they were saved. They thought that they could call the bridegroom Lord, that they had that relationship with him. Well, in truth, he wasn't their Lord, because the answer of the bridegroom indicates that. He says, "I don't know you." Boys and girls, the world is filled with people, boys and girls, as well as mums and dads and adults, who think Jesus Christ is their Lord, when in truth he's not. He's not. What about you this morning? Do you think the Lord Jesus is your Lord? You sing his name and his titles in hymns. You bow your head as prayer is offered. And he is glorified and called Lord. Maybe you think that he is your Lord, when in truth he's not. He's not your Lord. We come then to the big question. Why was he not the Lord of these five foolish virgins? Well, you will notice that the answer of the bridegroom to their knocking at the door tells us what was wrong. Verse 11, "Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily, or truly, I say unto you, I know you not." Do you hear me? "I know you not." Boys and girls, entrance into heaven is only given to those who are known by the Lord and who know him, who have that relationship with Christ that this word knowing indicates. Now, there's a lot of people whose name you know. You would have known the name of the outgoing Prime Minister over in London, Mrs. Theresa May. You've heard that name, haven't you? You don't know Mrs. May. You know her name. You've seen her picture. You've never met her. You've never shaken her hand. You've never been introduced. You don't know her in that sense. And boys and girls, it's one thing to know about the Lord Jesus, entirely different thing to know him. Do you know him? Do you know him? Have you been introduced? And being introduced, have you continued to converse and talk with him? When we were praying earlier in the assembly, and our heads were bowed and our eyes were closed, and the principal was leading us in prayer, were you talking to the Lord Jesus? Or were you just listening to the principal talking to the Lord Jesus, but because you don't know him, you didn't talk to him? Do you understand what I'm saying? You cannot get into heaven unless there is this knowledge that Christ has of you and you have of him. We could spend a little time looking at what this word know means. Just go back to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2 and the verse 2. Well, we'll read verse 1. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." Now, our word is found in there, found in verse 2. The word that's translated in the parable, when the bridegroom says, "I don't know you," the word that's translated "know" is in that verse 2. Only it's translated by another English word. But this other English word helps us to understand what it means to know Christ. It's translated here in the verse 2, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east." One of the means of getting to know something, to see it, to look at it. And these wise men were aware of the star. They had seen it. They had seen it. And many times in the New Testament, this word is translated by seen or saw. And I'm asking you today, have you seen the Lord Jesus? You say, how can I see the Lord Jesus? You can see him in the Bible. We read of a man in the Acts of the Apostles. We don't have his name, we only know the country from which he came. He was an Ethiopian. And you read about it in Acts chapter 8. Just turn it up. Acts chapter 8. The Spirit of God leads Philip the Evangelist out into the desert. And while he's out there, suddenly there comes a chariot. And in it there is this Ethiopian who was a high official in the government of Ethiopia. And he's reading aloud Isaiah chapter 53. And Philip says to him, do you understand what you're reading? And the man says, how can I except somebody help me? Come up into the chariot and help me. And then the man says, here in this chapter that I'm reading, it keeps talking about a person. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. Who is this man that I see here? And Philip the Evangelist begins to preach to him and tell him that the prophet is speaking about Jesus. And suddenly, the Ethiopian sees him. Do you understand? He sees who the prophet's talking about. It's the Lord Jesus. Have you seen the Lord Jesus in the Bible? I'll give you another example. Go back to John chapter 9. That's back one book. John chapter 9. I must say I love this passage. In John chapter 9 you meet a man. We don't have his name, but he was a man born blind. And the whole chapter is given over to how he was healed. And then the rumpus that started by the enemies of Christ, who just hated to hear of any miracle and tried to make out that there never was a miracle. The man was never blind. And in the end, because the man insisted that Jesus Christ had wrought this miracle, they kicked him out of the synagogue. They excommunicated him. And when that happened, we read in verse 35, right toward the end of the chapter, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, I love that, men threw him out, but the Lord Jesus sought him out. He said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Now listen to these words, boys and girls. Verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And they worshipped him. I think that is the sweetest little record of anyone ever meeting the Lord. Showing how ignorant we are. We can look right into the face of the Savior and not know who he is. You can hear the gospel preached and Christ set before you with great plainness, and you still don't see. You don't see him. It takes the Lord to open our eyes. Just as in this instance, the Savior said to the man, thou hast both seen him, that is, the Savior, the Messiah, the Son of God. Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And they worshipped him. And that man would have jolted back, startled. You mean you're the Redeemer? Lord, I believe in you. Have you seen the Lord? Do you know the Lord? Because if you don't know the Lord, and the Lord doesn't know you, you'll not get into heaven. You'll not get into heaven. The door was shut. They couldn't get in. The bridegroom says, I never knew you. Have you met with Christ? Do you know him as your friend, your Savior? May the Lord bless these words to your heart today, awaken you, so that you have the experience of that man in John 9. The Lord reveals himself, and you say, Lord, I believe. May you believe on the Lord Jesus today. Let's bow in prayer. We ask thee, Lord, to bless thy word. We thank thee for the year that's passed. We thank thee for the opportunity of seeking to press home the claims of Christ upon the boys and the girls. O God, May they come to know Thee, each and every one of them. May they come to know Thee as their Savior. Bless the school today, we ask, and be with us as the term draws to a close. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen.